This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
On a frozen rope, baby, just like that. Los Angeles Chargers in the red zone and in a goal-to-go situation. Come on, man. First and 10 coming up. Oh, wait, no, not goal-to-go. Maybe a little short. All right, either way, Chargers are driving. They are deep, deep in Kansas City territory.
Can you not open a segment like that ever again?
Also, the Buffalo Bills, that touchdown was good.
I don't know what that noise was that came out of you, but
just
not
like that.
Good.
So we're at DEF CON 2 if we're New England right now.
So we're nearing full-blown nuclear war is what you're saying.
I think you can make the argument that the equivalent of blowing a 21-0 lead is the Cuban Missile Crisis.
I do want to say, like, thank you at Capper Strong for saying, love the DEF CON game analogies. Look at us go. But yeah, 24-21 now. So after being up 21-0 to be put in this position, we'll see if New England can tack on something here this coming drive and show that their offense is not resting on their laurels because the defense is just getting run all over at this point. Also, we missed it. We did see the New York Giants get in the end zone as well. So Jackson Dart with a quick little touchdown to Tyrone Tracy. Tracy's second of the day. 22-14 as they trail at home. Washington laying just 4.5 on that live line. Live total, 53.5.
Give it to him.
And we are getting some of the actives and inactives coming out for the afternoon slate. Kind of nice, as you mentioned earlier, that we get a full complement of games in the afternoon window. We have 5 games that are coming up. And one of the big ones that was being talked about a lot, of course, is Packers and Broncos, and what's this going to look like? We do have some of the actives and inactives coming out, as I mentioned. Josh Jacobs, who is questionable on the injury report with a knee injury, kept him out of practice on Wednesday and Thursday. He is active, returned to practice on Friday. His backup, Emmanuel Wilson, I guess was dealing with a little bit of an illness. He was added to the injury report late, listed as questionable, but he is also active as well. And then defensive lineman Lucas Van Ness, who missed most of the last 2 months with a foot injury, active. Rookie wide receiver Savion Williams, however, dealing with a foot injury of his own, is not. So that's what it looks like, at least on the Green Bay side of things. Broncos down from, 2.5 most of the week, 2.5-point dogs, now getting just 1. So clearly people were thinking the same way we were thinking, to an extent of, should the Broncos really be 2.5-point favorites? Underdogs at home or not?
I know you've asked me a question. I will get to it. Put a pin in it for a second.
All right.
Jalen Hurts. 3rd and 5 right now, 15 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I would just say maybe look at some under passing yards if they're still up right now, only because on a slide, kind of tweaked his leg a bit. He is still in the game, and he just threw a touchdown. I would assume that up 31-0, because we're waiting for the extra point right now, that his day might be done.
Tell me how many yards passing he's... it's off the board now.
Okay, I was going to say, I mean, maybe there's an opportunity here.
The attempts is still there.
Yeah. Is it? How much is it? I mean, either way, I think he might be done here. Again, he was kind of working his leg out, doing whatever. He throws a touchdown to A.J. Brown right now.
Oh, and that's off now, too.
I was going to say, got to assume his day is
done.
They'll
only let you do the pluses.
Okay, yeah. Got to assume his day was done. So I apologize. Yeah. Anyway, so
the only under you can bet is Jalen Hurts under interceptions at minus 2,100.
I would argue there's value in that number. I mean, seriously, I mean, what are they going to throw the ball for? Yeah. I mean, they shouldn't really at all. Up 31-0. He shouldn't even have another pass.
Yeah, that's the only one that's not locked up.
Second and goal coming up, and another Chiefs defender in almost as many plays is down on the field.
I'm just so mad at myself. That teaser of mine is dead. I had ample opportunities to buy in on the Eagles, and I didn't do it.
You know, you should bet sides.
Like, shut individual your whole sides. Wang Chung. Let me live my dreams.
Anyway, I would give us credit in the fact that we did our market power ratings on Friday. And one of the things that we talked about, and, you know, I called myself Packers curious, but, you know, teased up the Broncos because this number just didn't really jive. Whether you put the Broncos up on the same tier with, like, you know, the Rams or whatever it is, or the Broncos, whatever it is, the gap between these two, to say there was about a 4.5-point difference on a neutral was mm-hmm. very strong. And I felt like there probably should be some pushback on that. You know, 2.5 is not a key number. 2 is not really a key number, but just from a point spread standpoint, it just didn't make sense that these two teams would be that far away from one another. And sure enough, it sounds like the market, or it seems like the market, very much agrees with that sentiment right now and pushing this down. I would assume too, I forgot to ask Derek this, I gotta think that the Broncos, if we were to call around town and call around to these national books, I gotta think the Broncos are a pretty popular teaser leg this week.
Sure.
you know, getting that thing up from it was 2.5, 2, 1, 1.5, you know, getting to those through those key numbers in a game with a total of 42.5 with that defense. I think you even said it. I'll paraphrase it. Like, I'm going to get that with that defense at home. Yeah. Like, that's a very tempting proposition. So I'm assuming that's part of why we're seeing this getting driven down. But I just think the gap was too small and we're probably near where we should be. I think when we talked about it, I told you my number for this would pick. So to get this down to that one and maybe even pick range by the time we get to kickoff, I think it makes all the sense in the world.
Also, Mile High today, one of the nicer weather days on the entire card. It's like 60 degrees and sunny out there in Denver.
Yes. By the way, my hand is hovering over the DEFCON 1 button.
Oh, what happened?
We got a 3rd and 4 coming up right now. I guess showing up shirtless and without shoes ain't really helping out, is it, Mac? So just like, you know, just holding it over the button just in case.
For anyone who missed it, Mac Hollins walking into the stadium today had a pair of black pants on and that was all.
Glad he got the attention he wanted. Can we maybe win the game now?
He's very grounded. He likes grounding.
I mean, clearly, because he ain't getting off the ground right now. This offense has been stuck in the mud.
Did want to give you a couple more injury updates as well, although apparently Shedeur Sanders, so sorry for, I know you're sweating out the Browns here, but it looks like he just threw a pick in the end zone.
I think they just scored a touchdown too, the Bears did, subsequently.
Oh, so he threw a pick and then they capitalized instantly on it. So DJ Moore touchdown to pull ahead, pending the extra point, 21-3.
Hey, stop me if you've heard this before. Chargers settle for about a 22-yard field goal.
Tied at 13, baby.
13 all with 8:55 left to go in the third.
All right. Continue to go through the actives and inactives.
I have removed
though,
my
up.
Hand from the top of the DEFCON 1 button, by the way.
Did they get the first down?
Yeah, they got a first down. Okay. Big chunk play.
Titans 49ers. So 12.5 point spread in this one in San Francisco at Santa Clara. Tennessee had a lot of questionables up front on their offensive line. Dan Moore at left tackle with a neck injury. The starting center, Lloyd Cushenberry, with a foot. Kevin Zeitler, questionable as well at right guard, but none of them are on the inactive list. Oh, sorry, Dan Moore, the only of that group that's on the inactive list. So instead of being down 3 starting offensive linemen, just 1, albeit at the most important position at left tackle. So do with that what you will. Their starting corner, Jalen Armour-Davis, injured his Achilles. He missed the last 2 games. He is inactive despite being an early questionable this week. So those are the big notables there. I mentioned for the 49ers earlier, they are still going to be without on defense Tatum Bethune, and Sam Okwuonu. I always have trouble with that one.
Oh, you were ripping it off earlier. No problem.
Oh, man. Come on. Both of them with high ankle sprains, though. There was some optimism that San Francisco might be able to get one or both of them back, and it's neither of them coming out of the bye. So I think that is pretty disappointing for the defense, especially considering those two were already backups, so you're on your 3rd string in that position now defensively, which is a struggle. They do get their kicker, Eddie Pinheiro, back after missing a few games. And for anyone who missed the news this week, Christian McCaffrey was a late add to the injury report this week with a back. Freaked out fantasy football owners everywhere. He is going to play today. Brandon Ayuk, meanwhile, is not going to play all season. So I think that became the expectation as we went throughout the year, but I think disappointing nonetheless for anybody who likes San Francisco. You look at that line, though, 12.5, total 44.5. Was there anything that tempted you to buy in on, or was this a hard stay-away game for you?
Well, I always acquiesce to your knowledge when it comes to your team, the San Francisco 49ers. But at first blush, by the way, 2 of the hotter teams in the NFL in terms of the spread, both have covered 4-5 coming into this game. Kind of like Tennessee here.
Yeah, my thought when we talked about this earlier was, for as much as I love San Francisco and think that they are making all of the right steps in the direction that you want a team to make at this point in the season, and they're getting healthier, and I think they could be dangerous in terms of a team you don't want to face in the playoffs, I also feel like 12.5 is a little bit too much for them to be laying.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Cam Ward's capable enough that you look at this and you say, all right, if he's not going to get pressured, which has kind of been the weakness for the 49ers.
Kind of.
Yeah, right. So
he'll
be able to sit back, generate some big plays, stay inside of a big number. As you mentioned, the Titans have fallen so far down the market power ratings that they've been covering some of these numbers again, covering 4 out of the last 5, you know, bouncing back after getting throttled by Jacksonville to beat Cleveland. I just think that given the situation, what we know about Tennessee, 12.5 seems like a number that is pretty large.
Yeah.
That Tennessee can stay inside of here against San Francisco.
Let me look it up. I think maybe, though, like one thing that did stand out to me, at least about the 49ers defensively, is that they have you know, done a good job holding opponents at bay points-wise recently. So maybe a team total under or a game total under. I don't know. I got to think about it a little bit more. But there was nothing ultimately that I put in the account on this game. Nothing stood out and really called to me even from a prop perspective either. And I don't know what the limitations may or may not be with Christian McCaffrey.
Did you see the second Mission Impossible?
I've seen them all, yes.
You saw this.
Which one is that? What's
newest,
it called?
Not the second one. I'm sorry. The newest one, like of the part two.
Yes.
You saw the part two? Remember at the end when like everything was freaking out, looked like the world was going to end.
Is this the final reckoning?
Yeah. And all the silos were opening and the missiles were about to launch. The silos are open in New England. Drake May's picked off. And look, it was kind of an arm punt here, but Buffalo is going to take over. It was 3rd and 25 after a hold. Harrison picks him off on a side, or excuse me, a pass down the right sideline. Bills ball down by 3 with just about a minute left in the third quarter.
Ethan Hunt is not about to let this happen.
I mean, they need somebody. I mean, they need Tom Cruise to show up.
Send him in.
God, I saw this coming from a mile away.
My favorite part about the Mission Impossible series, though, is just the masks, the face mask things that they would do.
Yeah.
And the voice changer.
Yep.
That's classic.
I'll have to go back and look. I was about to call back in the memory banks of nostalgia, but I would have to confirm the knowledge before I go. Travis Etienne, touchdown.
One thing as we close out our conversation here on the 49ers, 12.5, the largest favorite role they've had in the last 2 years.
Really?
They were 14.5 point favorites against the Commanders in December of 23. They did cover that game. Also have not lost outright as a favorite of 12 or more since 1995. So, moneyline parlay piece.
Patty Mahomes. Sacked on 3rd and 10. Chargers getting the ball back. Let's
Sack
go.
Lunch. Tied at 13. Crunch time coming up in KC. We'll be back in a moment.
Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
As the official horse racing partner of VSiN, First Bet is built for bettors who demand more. First Bet isn't just about placing a bet. It's about helping bettors of all levels with proprietary AI handicapping tools that provide data-driven insights to help you make smarter and more informed bets. First Bet's in-app tools give you win, place, and show probabilities for each runner, so you can quickly and easily identify good value plays and improve your ROI. Plus, right now, you can take advantage of what is a limited time $250 sign-up offer. To claim your bonus, use the promo code VSIN250 when you sign up at First Bet on the app or at firstbet.com. That's promo code VSIN250 in the First Bet app or at firstbet.com. That's the number one, STBet.com. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you back from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, talking all things week 15, the NFL slate. Things are getting interesting in a couple of games. The Buffalo Bills were down 21-0 and roaring back against the New England Patriots. We got a tie game at 13 in Chargers Chiefs right now, and a couple of blowouts as well, including the Philadelphia Eagles, who, as we are, a couple minutes into the fourth quarter, have yanked all of their starters. And you made the comment earlier, like, hey, what are the Jalen Hurts numbers right now? Because he's probably going to be out of this thing. Most of them were locked up except for the under and interception at -2100. You said it was cheap and it cashes. Look at us go. He is out for the day. It's Tanner McKee time.
All right. So let's do this. I want to see if I can sort these stats by half.
Also, Shedeur Sanders threw another interception, and I guess Jerry Jeudy is significantly at fault for it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, is it ever Shador's fault? Is it?
I can't tell if some of these tweets are tongue in cheek because I haven't seen the play. I can't tell how many of these are tongue in cheek or or real, because it's pretty funny. Like, please, as you're listening to us, get on the timeline and just search Jeudy Shedeur and see what pops up.
All right, so I'm looking at this. We'll just bring this up really quickly. So we're pretty much about to turn the keys. I don't know how you go to DEFCON 1, but this is here. Bills have taken over after the interception. 3-yard run, incomplete. And then on 3rd and 7, Yonkor, a 24-yard completion to Dalton Kincaid. So as we enter the fourth quarter, Bills are going to have the ball 1st and 10, their own 36. They have been moving the ball. Drives for Buffalo since the start of the second half. 6 plays, 44 yards, touchdown. 11 plays, 70 yards, touchdown. Let's zoom out a little bit more, Stormy. the last drive for Buffalo before the end of the second quarter, 7 plays, 42 yards, touchdown. The Bills have gone downfield and scored touchdowns on each of their last three possessions and are riding a 24-yard completion here on this possession to start the fourth quarter. This is looking as bad as it can be for New England right now, especially on defense. And their offense chose the wrong time to get stuck in the mud. Three plays, is three and out, lost 6 yards, punted it away. 7 plays, 23 yards, interception. This is not looking good for the New England Patriots.
24-21 right now as we just now enter first play of the fourth quarter here. Also, some good news for Kansas City. Looked worrisome for a moment. Chris Jones had to go to the blue injury tent, but he was back for that 3rd and 11 where they did ultimately get a stop. And like they're going to get the ball back here in a moment.
And LA is moving too. I think. Well, no, this is going to be an incomplete, I think is what they're going to. So this is.
So is that going to be 3rd down or 4th down? I think 4th down, right?
Yeah, I can't. I don't really remember because I was actually going back to 4th and 11. What is his power stance for the punt return? I was trying to look in. I was going back in my mind to the likely non-catch the other day last week for Baltimore against Pittsburgh because that was a very similar situation there for Los Angeles. And they're going to get a false start, so they're going to get driven back here a little bit. So punt this thing away. 2nd and 2, that is converted, and the Bills have a 1st down at about their own 47-yard line.
Okay, while we're keeping tabs on these games, we also have 5 more still to come in the afternoon window, including a game that JVT, I know, is just thrilled to watch. His Indianapolis Colts in Seattle taking on the Seahawks. 13.5-point spread in this one in favor of Seattle, total 41.5. And this is it. We're going to see the debut of Big Phil back from the dead or back from grandfather land, 44 years old, getting the start today in Seattle. What do you think?
Are you not intrigued by this either? Like, is this not the most interesting game of the day in terms of what we're watching in theater?
It absolutely is. But for how long, I guess, is my question. Like, I cannot wait to see what he looks like when he gets out there on the field.
I mean, hopefully he looks better than what he's
looking
right now.
And I think
it
would be so cool and such an amazing story if he actually is able to make some good plays here, matriculate the ball downfield, make it a close competitive game. But against this Seattle Seahawks defense that is aggressive and so good, and he is about as mobile as a tree and about, I think, at least visually, and I don't know, like he didn't even know his weight, but looked about 20 pounds heftier than the last time we saw him on a football field, even though insiders will try to tell you he's in the best shape of his life, even better than when he was playing. I just don't see it working.
This is one of the more asinine reports I've ever seen in my life. Look, I think they're going to get slaughtered, man. I mean, I don't know what we're supposed to think here. I guess there's some numbers players that if you get 14, you just grab it in an NFL game, I suppose. But if there's a team that has proven that they're going to slaughter some of these opponents, it has been the Seattle Seahawks. They've done it to these bad teams time and time again. Now, granted, we're talking about some different numbers for Seattle than what they've laid in some of these big matchups, but still, the point stands that they're able to cover big numbers. Last week, they were 6.5-point favorites. They win 37-9. The week prior to that, they're only 13 at home against Minnesota. They win 26-0. Yes, they didn't cover as a 13-point favorite against Tennessee on the road. It was a brutal spot. You come off of that Rams game, you go across the country, whatever it is. 7.5-point favorite against Arizona. They win 44-22. The list goes on and on. 7.5-point favorite against New Orleans at home. They win 44-13. They have beat the absolute dog crap out of every single one of these bad teams. Why would we not expect that the retired 44-year-old who's coming in at about 295 is not going to suffer the same fate as anybody else?
You're not going to find a lot of disagreement out of me. And this is also a Colts team that has dropped 4 of their last 5, including 3 straight, that is dropping like flies injury-wise.
So we do this a lot, so I always like to try this the other way. All right, we've made the case 1,000 times over that they're going to get slaughtered. If the Colts stay inside of this number, who cares about winning? Colts cover, what happens?
Then Phillip Rivers, I mean, pass yards and completions are over. Jonathan Taylor's having a good day on the ground. Their defense doesn't look as terrible as their defense has been.
Sure.
I mean, even when they were 7-1 to start the year, there were issues on defense that started to finally emerge, I think, the last few weeks. So and Sam Darnold can be had, right? So I think that's the thing. Maybe you would look for a Sam Darnold interception or...
That to me is what I'm looking for, actually. Like, it's... If this does not happen for Seattle, if you go back, Darnold, before last week where he throws 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, the 3 starts prior to that, Darnold has been awful. He He had thrown 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions over 3 games, was barely, you know, was completing around like 60% of his passes, not a lot. Over those 3 games, he had committed 8 turnover-worthy plays. He had put the ball in danger. If this looks anything like a close game, I think a lot of it has to do with Sam Darnold. But as I start to try to make the case for Seattle, I will go back 2 weeks ago, 128 yards, 4.9 yards per attempt, 2 turnover-worthy plays, no touchdown passes, completes just 53.8% of his passes, and they beat Minnesota 23-0. He was awful in that game. Their offense was awful, and they still got it done.
That said, real quickly, while we have time, let's hear from Big Phil on the podium when he was asked,
quite literally Big Phil,
what his family thinks about all this.
They've been very supportive. You know, I think my younger children are most excited. I shouldn't say most excited. They're excited because they don't remember Dad playing. You know, my six-year-old actually asked me like 4 months ago, like, Dad, why don't you play anymore? And I'm like, hon, I'm sorry. Best you're going to get is me coaching on the sideline, you know, because they were seeing, you know, highlight, or they're pulling up some, you know, old games. My boys are fired up, obviously, but I think share the same sentiment. A little nervous, like, Dad, do you think you can do it, you know? And then my older girls are real excited because they're a little bit confused. They're like, shoot, I was 12. You know, some of them, you know, now all of a sudden they're grown adults, married, and they remember 16 years old going to the ball game. So it's been a whirlwind of 48 hours, I'll say. But each moment that goes by, I feel more and more confident. I really do.
Yeah, Phil, I think more than just your daughters are a little bit confused. But hey, he said he feels confident. We talked earlier about the relationship with Shane Steichen, was an assistant for many years, coaching Phillip Rivers with the Los Angeles Chargers. They still keep in contact a lot, even now, because of, oddly enough, the high school football team that Phillip Rivers coaches runs that offense, and they're always talking through things. The Opta AI projections that we have at VSiN.com actually have him projected way over this number. 152.5 is what I'm seeing right now. The projection 220.3 on interceptions. However, the DraftKings line is just for whether or not Phillip Rivers will throw a pick. Opta AI has him at 2.4 interceptions today.
We have hit the button. DEFCON 1, second and goal for Buffalo. After a big play.
No freaking way.
Told you, man. They're going to lose this game. New England's going to lose this
game. Wow.
All right. I want you to answer this.
Okay, we still got 11 minutes to go here.
By the way, I did some quick math. The Bills, not including this drive, their last 3 drives, they have averaged 6.3 yards per play, have 151 total yards. Did you have the same observation in that video clip of Phillip Rivers that I did? I'll tell you what it was next.
Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
DEFCON 1 is no longer pending. It is here. The Buffalo Bills pull ahead a 13-play, 91-yard drive. They're up 28-24.
Tell the audience how it happened, though.
So here's the thing. Buffalo scores to pull ahead. They get the touchdown pulled off the board, and then doesn't matter. Yeah. They just go and do it again. No problem at all. Josh Allen connects with Knox for the 14-yard score. Extra point is good, and here we are. They were down 21-0, roar all the way back, and now it is, what can this New England Patriots offense do? They only had one punt in the first half, and now to start the third quarter, and now into the fourth, 3 plays, negative 6 yards, punt. 7 plays, 23 yards, interception. Now let's see what they do.
Okay, I'll ask a question.
Like, that is a long drive, took about 6.5 minutes off the board.
Was I right?
In what context?
Was I right that that number was wrong, even though they're losing this game right now?
Yes.
Feels good. Feels good to know that I was right. As they trail by 3 after blowing a 21-0 lead.
It's just like... crazy. It was totally one of those what am I missing specials with the line move in favor of Buffalo.
Guess I wasn't missing anything.
And they come back out of nowhere. And you know what's funny too is I crapped on the whole rationale, because every person I talked to this week that said they liked Buffalo, I felt like the only portion of the handicap they gave me was that well, the Bills have Josh Allen. I was like, that can't be the only answer. It can't be. Yet here we are. And look what he's doing.
Yep. First time trailing in the fourth quarter since week three for New England.
Wow.
That's interesting. Also, it also goes to show how easy the schedule's been for New England.
Question for you. So, yes. So, Vrabel, obviously. Here we go. Is that Trevion Henderson?
Get there. I don't know who it is, but get there. Don't get hawked. First and 10, and it's a touchdown. Let's do this. Henderson gets it done. Rookie of the year?
Maybe we're live.
I mean, seriously, yeah. Trevion Henderson, rookie of the year. Like, this rookie of the year race looks awful.
Wow.
We're waiting for it to happen. Here we go. That was a huge run. That's his second big touchdown run of the day. 30 to 28, extra point coming.
And so when we had the offensive rookie of the year conversation earlier, my whole thing in not wanting to play him was that, like, I don't know if you can trust Vrabel to actually put the ball in this kid's hands the way he's deployed the running backs.
Look at that. That's ridiculous. They toss it right. Everybody literally gets piled up. And so he just breaks left, and there's nobody there. And he gets the edge, and he's gone. That was like a 70-yard touchdown run.
65-yard touchdown run.
He's got 142 yards and two touchdowns. So seriously, offensive rookie of the year. If Tetero McMillan.
What was he odds-wise?
14-1. You can check me on that. 12-14. If McMillan has a quiet day today. By the way, look at Drake May downfield with him blocking.
I love that. That's funny.
If Tetero McMillan has a quiet day today, you could make the case that it's Henderson who's going to be the favorite after the day. I don't think he would be odds on.
Even if not favorite, maybe co-favorite or like significantly shorter odds.
These plus 180.
These markets are so volatile.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting. Good for you, Trevion Henderson. Okay, here we go. So back down to it's still DEFCON 2? Or are you pulling it back two scales?
No, I mean, given the way your defense has been playing, we're down to DEFCON 2.
At Fred's Not Red tweeted at us, as we have all the DEFCON comparisons and we're talking about Mission Impossible. So where was Ethan Hunt in 2019 for COVID?
Yeah.
That was the whole plot to Mission Impossible 2. Where was he to save the day?
That was the worst of the Mission Impossibles.
Robert Foster has asked us to pick a two-team teaser for the afternoon slate. All right, let's pull it up.
By the way, this is Live Bet Sunday, but Money Moves at VSiN.com as well, if you want to check it out.
So Broncos, I would assume, would be one leg, even at the one and a half.
Because you're getting up to seven still.
Yep, you still go through the three and the seven. So I would say Broncos.
You're not going to like it.
Titans?
Oh, no.
Sorry, why would I not like it? Oh, you're going Saints?
Yeah.
I can see that.
Total's 41 and a half. You're getting up to two key numbers. You know, tease the dogs up. So Denver plus seven and a half, and Saints plus 8.5. I think would be a pretty strong teaser. Or, I mean, it's not traditional. You're not getting through the two key numbers. But this might be up your alley as well. A Denver Rams teaser. Getting the Rams to a pick in the game against the Lions and then getting the Broncos up. But I think for sure you would agree, I think, 100% here. The Broncos have to be one of your legs, I think.
Yes.
That's like the strong.
So that's why that was the instant. That's where I'm going. Has to be Broncos. And I have Broncos in a couple teasers as well. Broncos Chargers was my biggest what's the word I'm looking for, where I invested the most funds on that teaser.
Strongest leg, if
yes,
you will.
Two unit play for me on that one
you're relying on the most,
that I really like today.
You called this, man. The Chiefs offensive line has been awful today. Down a couple of starters, got dinged up again with another one. Mahomes has been getting run out here. Every time I look up, he's on the ground.
Yep. And he's taking a few like big hits too. And I know, like, he's as tough as they come. And even between plays, you remember, like, years past, even in the playoffs, between plays, he's, like, limping off to the sideline, still comes in, throws a dime, makes magical plays. But this has been ugly.
Look, I'm not going to pretend to know the intricacies of play calling. Having said that, if you've got an offensive line that's down three bodies, are you really calling, like, five-step drops and, like, deep developing routes? Because it seems like that's what the Chiefs are doing here. Yeah. They're just hanging them out to dry right now.
Yeah. 16-13 right now, Chargers up, about 14 minutes to go here in the game. Let's go back to that Carolina Panthers Saints game, though, here quickly. So I do agree with you. I think the Saints as a leg probably makes sense at home, how well they've been playing. Tyler Shuck actually kind of looks the part for New Orleans lately. And a Panthers team that, depending on the closing number, whatever you want to call it, has not won outright as a favorite their last 11 times.
Yeah.
It has been years since they have won as a closing favorite. They're laying 2.5 on the road today in what is a super important game for the NFC South and taking on an opponent that they lost in embarrassing fashion to at home. So what do we do with this?
I asked again. So Carolina and San Francisco are the two teams I defer to you on.
It scares me how much I like. Ooh, I got excited. Ooh, sorry.
We're about to go to DEFCON 3.
I am such a believer in the Panthers right now. And I know they're Jekyll and Hyde. And I've made the comparison to the old Forrest Gump box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get with Bryce Young. But I feel like this is such a massive opportunity for them. And they're going to live up to the moment for the first time in what feels like forever.
Did you lay it? No.
It wasn't an official play, yeah. But I have bet it. Yes.
I'm looking forward to watching this game with you and your husband later. That'll be fun.
I'm actually very stressed. So my husband is at the book behind us right now watching games and already, you know, partaking in some of the beverages.
Yeah.
That by the time we get to the afternoon slate, I feel like the decibel level is going to be very high when we're watching the game.
And much like the Buffalo Bills, I will overcome a 21-0 deficit and catch up with Chris and
start with a quick double Modelo draft, right. And then we're off and running.
Look, I got to do what I got to do, okay? 3rd and 16 coming up for Kansas City, as we'll wait to see if, again, like, look at this, like, just deep developer rounds trying to find stuff downfield. You get it. So,
is this live on Baltimore?
Yeah, it is. How about that? It was a goal-to-go situation, and Baltimore instead, I think, is going to get a defensive touchdown here.
Taking
so
it all the way back. No, that one's dead. My goodness.
That one's absolutely dead. What was I going to say? Yeah, look, I'm with you in that I want to believe in
Gilman.
Yeah, I want to believe in Carolina. Like, I think that Bryce Young is showing enough that he's been a little bit more consistent than not. I like Dave Canales as a play caller. I would think that the motivation of this team having dropped that game the way they did are going to put forth a better effort. By the way, that big completion is not going to count. Juju Smith-Schuster with an illegal block. But either way, I'm with you. 2.5 is one of those where it's like, man, this seems too good to be true. That's really short.
And the reason that this game today is so pivotal in the whole conversation with Carolina.
Did you see this block? No. Look at this block. What are we doing? Like, that's not that big. They're calling it an illegal, like, blindside or backside. Like, what are we doing?
Just football.
Right.
Relax.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
The reason that this game is so pivotal, though, in terms of the NFC South is because the Panthers and Buccaneers have two games head-to-head coming up the final 3 weeks of the season. A win in this game would give Carolina the upper hand in the division should they split those two games.
Yeah.
So this is a huge game for them. And the way that the odds have turned on their head for Tampa with this just calamitous downfall and collapse that they've had the last few weeks, they were on December 7th, prior to that Sunday slate of games where they lost, a minus 500 favorite in the division, fell to minus 300, and now they're just minus 130. Carolina, from as high as like 7-1, I want to say, is now plus 110 in the market.
By the way, this is such a brilliant little piece of football right here. I don't know if you saw this. So who returns the
Alohi Gilman?
So Van Noy is actually the one who forces the turnover. He hands it off to Gilman as they're running downfield because he knows he's not fast enough to return it.
Shut the front door.
Yes, and they get and they get a touchdown out of it.
That's awesome.
Not awesome. Third down, Patriots force an incompletion, get called for pass interference. So this is going to be a fresh set of downs for Buffalo, and we have
we got a fight,
a fracas out there on the field, Chiefs,
a kerfuffle,
yeah,
a scrum. Whatever you want to call it, but somebody didn't like something that happened there in Kansas City. Somebody's on the ground. So it looks like somebody they are not pleased with how that hit transpired. We will keep you updated on who is on the ground and what happened next as we wrap up this Live Bet Sunday, Week 15 edition of the program.
Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
So it appears the exchange that we saw between the Chiefs and Chargers was after a big hit from Tyquan Thornton. After a bunch of discussion, the refs threw Tony Jefferson out of the game for a helmet-to-helmet hit. So there was a lot going on there that didn't go well, and apparently
a pick.
Mahomes just threw an interception.
Yep. Patrick Mahomes tries to go down the right sideline. It is picked off. I believe that is Derwin James, who is number zero. Either way, interception, and the Chargers are going to take over. Question becomes where. You know, he catches it right here on the sideline. I think he's down by contact right at the one. So it's going to be a little tight for LA to get out of there, but they kill what was looking like at the very least a potential scoring drive for Kansas City, because they were inside the 30-yard line of LA. So just like that, Mahomes and the Chiefs again. I mean, I think we can safely say we'll see what happens with Buffalo, who, by the way, scored a touchdown 35-31. They're kicking it back off to New England. 6:48 left to go in the fourth quarter. But I think it's safe to say another situation. Sat here last week, watched the market steam Kansas City up to 5.5. Never come close to covering that number. Here again today, market all week, one direction. Closes 6 here in favor of Kansas City.
Yep.
Not even coming close to covering this number.
Deion Henley, by the way, with that interception. Chargers up 16-13, 12:41 to go. See if they can take advantage of this thing and pull away. So it's the what am I missing specials have been hit and miss today.
I mean, we'll see if the Patriots pull this off, right? Then that's going to be one of the hit or miss specials that maybe we get there. We'll see if
out-gained,
that actually happened.
We just saw on the graphic 260 to 48.
And even then, that's
the second half.
I mean, that's misleading because you know whatever it was. I mean, it has to be more than 48, right? Because Trayvon Henderson's run was like,
was that net yards or something?
Maybe. But either way, it's misleading because you know Trayvon Henderson's touchdown run was a big part of that. So in other words, you still down to down have not been very efficient if you're New England in this drive.
All right, so who do you think wins if I just told you now? Right now, make a decision. Who's the winner?
I mean, it seems NBA-esque here, so let's just say the team who has the ball last. Yeah. Doesn't it feel like one of those games? I mean, right now, 2nd and 5, pretty good run. You're not going to make this into a six-minute touchdown drive, I would assume. So let's go with New England takes the lead here on this drive with a touchdown. Buffalo goes down and wins it with the last-second touchdown.
Buffalo is minus 425.
Drake May sacked on 2nd and 5, 3rd and long coming up. Not good.
Wow. Check that, minus 475
wow.
after the sack.
Wow.
Laying 4.5 on the live spread.
I mean, I think you make the argument if the Patriots don't score here, it's over. Are you going to stop them? They haven't been able to stop them at all. And also, I mean, this shows, isn't this such a good, this is actually such a good game, but it's a good game and an example of, I think, the weakness of the AFC.
Okay.
I mean, these two teams defensively can't stop anybody. But New England finally runs into an offense with a pulse. And we're looking at about how bad this team is on defense. For Buffalo, they're clearly a flawed team on defense, as we have discussed many times throughout the entire year. 4th and 12 coming up for New England. Like, these are all such flawed teams in the AFC.
Yeah, like, it's a very untrustworthy batch. Yeah. Your co-favorites right now are the Broncos and Bills. And
we'll find out about the Denver a little bit later today, obviously.
Yeah, we'll see in that one. But to your point, AFC, NFC, they're an underdog at home to Green Bay today. Mm-hmm. New England, though, plus 450. The Houston Texans, your next shot at 5-1 for as great as their defense is. Yeah, their offense is showing out today, but it's against the Arizona Cardinals. So how much do you even take from that? Jags at plus 650. And then we get to double digits out after that.
What's your teaser?
Raiders. So.
Oh.
That's why I haven't even looked at it.
I mean, still, though, the actual number, can we discuss the fact that maybe you might cover this if you're Arizona? You got to get a stop here, but, like, it's only a 13-point game.
That's fair.
Just going to say.
That's fair. Know,
worth pointing out.
The Raiders didn't help me out at all.
I'll say, look, go ahead.
I was just going to say, meanwhile, you look at the top of the NFC, I think it is very clear, and today will be a good game against Detroit, see how that plays out.
Yeah.
But Los Angeles Rams, to me, are very clearly the best team in the NFL right now.
Market would agree.
The Seattle Seahawks and the defense that they have when Sam Darnold isn't turning over the football, they are juggernaut-esque themselves.
Yes.
You just need him to take care of the freaking football. The Packers are kind of Jekyll and Hyde, but they have shown steady improvement.
Yep.
Yeah, they're starting to find their way. And then it's the Eagles, and then it's the 49ers at double digits. But San Francisco is a team, I think, and we've talked about, as being pretty interesting as well down the stretch as they get healthy. I know those two defensive players that we talked about earlier aren't available today, but there was optimism they could potentially be back today. They're not, so you'd expect them still to be healthy down the stretch when they come back. And then Detroit's there at 14-1, Bears at 17-1.
Yeah.
These are all teams that I think, like, could be very interesting opponents in the playoffs.
Right. But I think in general, and I think we'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow on Money Moves, but I think it's looking more and more like the NFC is going to be the dominant power here. The future odds, by the way, would reflect that. Your top three choices to win the Super Bowl are LA, Seattle, and Green Bay, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are three, obviously, NFC teams. The NFC in the Super Bowl, the last look, the NFC was favored by, I think, about a point. I mean, I don't know about you, but let's say for whatever reason.
Is that the play, then?
Yeah, so let me ask you this. Rams, Patriots in the Super Bowl. You think Rams are only minus one?
No.
I don't think so. Seahawks, Patriots in the Super Bowl. You think the Seahawks are only minus one? Seahawks, Bills in the Super Bowl. Do you think the Seahawks are only minus one?
Yeah.
Don't think that's going to be true? Now, I don't think it's going to be like seven or anything like that. But if a team like the Rams, who the market very much respects, makes it to the Super Bowl and takes on any of these AFC opponents, they're going to be favored, and the degree to which they are favored will vary depending on who they play.
Yeah.
But it seems to me like out of all these future plays, finding some AFC, NFC Super Bowl lines and just playing the NFC might be it, because these powers in the NFC look very, very much more competent than their cohorts in the AFC right now.
Well, let's go down that road, I guess, as we continue to preview some of the games that are still to come here with the Rams and Lions. How do you see that one shaken out when all said and done?
I don't really have a read for this. I mean, I'm very much looking forward to this. At first blush,
it's a fun game to watch.
Yeah, and at first blush, six seems a little strong. Having said that, the Lions over the last few weeks, outside of against the Dallas Cowboys, have shown a penchant for giving up some explosives and not looking the part on defense. And so maybe the Rams can exploit that a little bit here. This is interesting too, because again, you talk about the differences on a neutral and all these sort of things. You know, a couple of weeks ago, if I were to tell you that the Rams are 4 points better than the Lions on a neutral and you're going to be laying nearly a touchdown at home, I think a lot of people would show some surprise there. But market's been in the Rams' direction, and I can't find a strong argument against it right now.
Yeah. I also just want to say, because we've talked about kind of the market volatility when it comes to MVP earlier on the program, when the Patriots were having a pretty strong day, you saw Drake May get as low as, at least when I was looking in the market, plus 105. He's now plus 220 and Matthew Stafford, a $2 favorite once again. And so we'll see if Matthew Stafford can continue to cement his case in that game against Detroit today. And I selfishly hope he can, because I have his over pass yards today at over 280 and a half. So we'll see how that plays out.
Lest we forget as well, Jahmyr Gibbs has thrown his hat into the ring for Offensive Player of the Year. He was 5-1 this week to win Offensive Player of the Year. So that's also something to watch, because with the perceived
Jackson Smith and Jigba odds on.
Yes. And Jonathan Taylor falling off, that now, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs with the season he's having is going to push JSN for potentially winning that award. Again, he's like plus 550 when those odds were up this week, but that's also an awards angle to watch. It's not only the MVP, but on the other side, you have a player that is making a late push for Offensive Player of the Year.
I did want to follow up that thought real quickly on Matthew Stafford for the passing yards today. A lot of the thought process behind that is the secondary issues that Detroit has. We know Kirby Joseph suffered that setback with his knee injury recovery, so he's not going to be available. They lose Brian Branch for the season. Haven't had Terry and Arnold for a while now, but I mean, that's still a key piece that you don't have available. And Thomas Harper had a setback, so he's out. And it's just like the names go on and on for the lack of available players they have in the defensive backfield. And so thinking a guy like Matthew Stafford, it's pretty sharp to capitalize on that. And Davante Adams, by the way, he did pop up on the injury report with a hamstring, but I feel like he's been on the injury report pretty frequently, always plays, always seems to play well. But he and Puka Nacua probably in position to do pretty good damage to that secondary. He has also had 300 plus yards in all three of his meetings against Detroit since he came over to LA. 70% completions the last two, and the Lions have allowed two of their last three opposing quarterbacks to throw for more than 300. So
couple of things for you
here.
Let's
see if he can do something.
First off, Patriots get off the field. So 4th and 4, Buffalo punting this ball back to New England.
Oh,
we're gonna have two
that's going to be a sweat the last 3 minutes.
And 45 seconds to get into this thing. Also, remember, folks, VSiN.com, it is playoff week, and that means we are going to get you ready. Go to VSiN.com and check out the College Bowl Guide. We have the playoffs in there, everything as part of the package. So make sure you check that out at VSiN.com as we head out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You can. What's cool about the guide this year too is usually you have to be a VSiN Pro subscriber to get access to it. And now you can still do that for a discounted price, get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do and get the guide as a part of it. But you can buy the guide a la carte right now as well. So get in there, VSiN.com/CFP. That's a wrap for us today.
Wow.
Enjoy the end of these games, though, because will DEFCON 1 ultimately close this out? Nuclear tragedy in New England and Buffalo. Okay, that's a weird way to end it. Bye, everybody. We'll see you next week.